Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting today. Amen. And again, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and braving the weather, and because there's other places you could have been right now, but you chose to come to our home and come around the Word of God, and I just so appreciate that. Amen. Let's go ahead and get into what the Word of God. Before I get into, I got a lot of emails recently with the Chinese virus and all out there, and I've noticed that I've had a lot more hits on my website, and viewing has really went up. And I would just like to thank everybody that has been sending emails. If I haven't got your email, I'm sorry. I will do my best to get to them. But anyways, thank you for listening to home group meetings online and reading, and I really appreciate that also. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us. And as is our custom, we go ahead and we look at what we looked at last time we came together as a little foundation so that we can project our spirit into that, and we could get into what we have for today, which will be Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 81. Last time we came together, we just a couple points, and the first point is the first key that we discovered a few meetings ago was despair. Wow, what a wonderful key in God. And last time we discovered adjustment. So time before last, we looked at that key of despair in our life. And then last time we came together, we looked at adjustment. And I would say adjustment is one of the most critical things in our spiritual walk with God, because if we do not adjust to what God is doing in us, if we do not adjust to what God is doing in our life, then I will tell you that He will not be able to use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. Adjustment is critical, whatever God is doing. And we'll talk about that a little more, but we need to adjust to what God is doing in our life. Second point is we must adjust to what God is doing or not going in our life. So adjusting to or adjusting not to what God. So many Christians want God to do this, and you know, God, I want you to do this. Well, He's not doing that because He knows the beginning to the end. And so we need to make that adjustment to what God is not doing, but more importantly, we need to make that adjustment to what God is doing in our life. And what we have or what we don't have. Wow. We have to make that adjustment to the things that God has given us so we can use them. And then we have to make those adjustments to the things that God hasn't given us and turn our heart away from the gimme, gimme, gimme and what I want. Because often the not doing is more of a concern to us than the doing. Amen? Often because we're not being used of God, or we're not preaching and teaching, and we're not doing this, and we don't have this, and we don't have that. That becomes more of a concern in our life. And God would want us to be more concerned and make the adjustment to the things that He has given us and the things that He wants to do. Again, adjustment is a critical area in our life. The third point is our adjustment must be towards the Lord and not what He can do for us. So many Christians love the Lord because I can get a job, or I can do this, or I can do that, or you know, I can do all of these things. Well, that's not the reason that we love the Lord. We make our adjustment to the Lord because He is the Lord and not what He can do for us. Amen? The fourth point is we can, if we can adjust to God, then He can bring His intentions to an end in our life. If not, we are on our own. So that adjusting to God is because we can move then, if we adjust to Him, then we can move in His strength and in the things that He wants us to do. So if we don't make that adjustment, then guess what? You're on your own and you're moving in your own strength. And when we move on our own strength, even Christians, we're not moving in the best that we have. So again, that adjustment is critical. Point number five, when we adjust to God, we discover another great key, our need. Wow, what a great discovery in our Christian life. And that is our need. Great provisions never allow us to see our real need. Let me say that again. Great provisions and having everything and all of this stuff never allows us to be able to see our real need. seeing our need is the foundation for other discoveries. And of course, our greatest need is God. We think we need this and we need that and we need a bigger car, a better job. No, what we need is more of God in our life, and then everything else will take care of that. But when we see our need, then this is the foundation for other discoveries in our life. The Lord sends us like He did with Hagar, with limited provisions, with just enough to get us into the wilderness so He can work on us. Of course, now we're in the wilderness of Bathsheba now, and with Hagar and the lad, the son of Abraham, of course, as we kind of track through that story there, God just gave her just enough water and just a fifth size of bread, just enough provision to get her into the wilderness where God can do some amazing things in her life. And we're kind of look at that a little later. Point number eight is, so we can learn how to live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20 says that we are to live by the faith, not by my faith. Because I have faith that chair is not going to break, and I have faith that the airplane is going to fly, and I have faith, and you know, we have faith even as Christians. But if we live by our faith, we're going to be in trouble. But when we live by the faith of the Son of God, well, then we don't have to worry about anything. Because we're not living by our faith, we're living by the faith that God gives us. The faith of the Son of God. And the ninth and the last point is, our faith will never get to the heart of God. Our faith, unless it's the faith of the Son of God, if we live through that, then you know, we'll be able to make it. But our faith will never get to the heart of God or the end and the purpose God has for us. Now that's a very deep thought. But if we live in our faith and not the faith of the Son of God, we will never ever come to the purpose and the plan that God has for us to exist in this world. We have to live by the faith of the Son of God that He gives everybody so freely. Amen. So that was Wilderness Food for Modern Times, number 80, and that was adjustment. So now let's go ahead and look at Wilderness Food for Modern Times, number 81, and we'll start with Genesis 21:17. And God heard the voice of the lad. Now let's go ahead and recap a little bit here. So Abraham said, okay, Hagar, I want you to go into the wilderness. Of course, Abraham was hoping that her and the lad was going to go die. So he gave her just a little bit of water and gave her just a little bit of bread, just enough to get him into the wilderness. God does the same thing in our life. But anyway, so off they went. And here, Genesis 21:17, and God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now that is an amazing voice. I don't hear Hagar praying. I don't hear Hagar praying or anything like that. All it says is that God heard the voice of the lad. Now, mark that in your Bible because that's very, very important. Matter of fact, that's very, very reassuring in our life. When we can come into an area where we cannot pray, when we do not have the word, when we're, you know, we just can't pray, we don't have to worry about that because we know that God loves us and God hears us. He even hears our heart. Amen? Wow. God brought Hagar to the place of need and despair. So where is God in all of this? God also brings us there. God brought Hagar to this place, right here, in Genesis 21:17, in a place of need. God showed her need and despair. She thought she was going to die. God uses the same means and method today that He uses in the Bible to bring us to a place in Him that He desires we come to. Wow. God desires to bring us to the end of ourselves, to the end of our strength, bring us to a place, believe it or not, of need and despair. Because when we come to that place, then we can see God high and lifted up and His train filling the temple. Wow. Wow. Wonderful. He changes not. He changes not. Amen. We often sing songs about God changing not, don't we? God changes not. then we expect Him to do a new thing in our life. And you know what? He does. He does. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "This is of the Lord, mercy, that we are not consumed, because His compassions faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." His mercies and compassions are new every morning, but His faithfulness is old. His faithfulness is not new. God's faithfulness is not new. That's a part of His character. That's a part of who He is. And that never, ever changes. Amen? It says right here that because His compassion faileth not, that is His faithfulness there. But His mercies toward us are new every morning. We must see this truth in God to, you know, we must see this truth. It is God who brings us from despair to provision, or the reverse, and not ourselves or even Satan. This situation caused Hagar to make a discovery. It was in her hour of great need when she expected only death. God came through and revealed His, you know, His love to her. And at that time of nothingness, there, at that place, then, at that time, Hagar made a discovery. And that is God's sufficiency. God's sufficiency. Do we not think God does not have making places for us? Well, I will tell you, God has making places. God has places in our life. He's got times in our life. He's got areas in our life that He will bring us to, just like He brought Hagar. And He brings us to that place so that He can work in us, so that He can make us, so that He can qualify us, so we can do all of these things in our life. We are no different than Hagar, believe it or not. We are no different. God has places for us in our lives that He wants to work, so He can work things out of us, so He can work things in us. Amen? So too with the children of Israel, during the entire 40 years of wandering, God brought them to a place and a time to reveal His sufficiency during their time of nothingness. And so too God brings us to the same place and time for the same reason. God brought them to a place of despair and provision so He could work on them. Wow. Boy. And He will do that too also. Hagar could never have made her discovery unless she had become desperate and had cried out in despair. Wow. I'll let that sink in for a second. Mm-hmm. Hagar could have never made her discovery of God's sufficiency unless she had become desperate and had cried out in despair. The very place of need and despair was the very place God was. In our despair, in these places that we think, where's God? Well, He's right there. He's in those. He seldom is in the good times and everything's going well and we're dancing and singing and, you know, well, but I will promise you, when you get into a place of need and despair, God is there. God is at the end of our bottle of water and at the end of our strength. God was at the end of, for Hagar, was at the end of that little bottle of water and that fifth side of bread. This is where God hears and He speaks. This is where God is discovered in greater and greater fullness. Where is God? God is at the end of your life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been at the end of your life? Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now that's two things there. That I will never leave, that's leave, or forsake. You can be with somebody and you can forsake them. But Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, even till the ends of the world." And that's the way that is in Greece, in the Greek. I don't know if I've ever shared this story or not, boy, but I was Pentecost Sunday, and I was in Bulgaria, and Pastor Yanko paid this cab driver to go ahead and take me from the Pentecostal church that I was preaching in across this big bridge into Romania, And after I got through customs, this cab driver was going to drive me all the way to the Autopen airport in Romania. Well, we got about halfway across this big bridge, and the cab driver stopped and said, "Get out." And I said, "But I gave you 50 Deutschmark." That kind of like a, it's like about $100, you know. And he said, "Get out. I can't go to Romania." And I went, "Oh my gosh," you know. So, I mean, what can I do? So I grabbed my bag, and I walked the other half of the bridge, and I got down to the border. And when I stood there at the border, this guy got four stripes, the border guard, the Romanian border guard came out, and he looked at me. He said, "Passport." And I, "Whoa, okay." I mean, you know, so I handed my passport. And at that time, I was traveling with a red passport. I didn't have a blue passport. And a red passport was an official passport. And so he kind of looked at me kind of strange, and he kind of disappeared into this one door until I was standing there. Oh, no, he said, "Wait." And I said, "Okay." You know, waiting in God is the place of receiving. Waiting is the place of receiving. If you want to receive something from God, that's what you got to do. Got to wait. And if you can wait, there will be a blessing that God will give you, I promise you. Amen? So anyway, I'm standing there about 15 or 20 minutes, and this big guy comes out, and he looks at me. And as he walks in front of me, if looks could kill, I would be a dead man. And he just looks at me, and he looks at me, and he walks in front of me, and he walks up this hill. And up this hill and the steps, you know, and there's a little building up there. And so I'm standing there and I'm looking at him. He wanted to get my passport so I could get some follow-on transportation to the auto pen. And all of a sudden this little window opens up. And I'm like, wow. Then all of a sudden I heard, I counted 39 times. 39 times this guy was beat. 39, I counted each one. 1, 2, oh my gosh, you know. And this man beat this other man up there till he whimpered. Now when you beat a man till he whimpers, you have beat him. The window closed, the guy came out, walked down the steps, and he looked at me, and in perfect English he said, "Here you go, sir." And I looked at him and I said, "Thank you, sir," and I grabbed my passport. Now that man in that building up there took a beating for me. I don't know who that man was, but that four striper, all he wanted to do, he really wanted to beat me, but he couldn't beat me because I had that official passport. But he went up there, he showed me that he could have beat me, and he beat that man 39 licks. Now I will tell you, at that very second, I was at the end of my life. I was at the end of my world. Because they could have taken me up there and killed me. And that would have, I mean, I was at the end of my life. But I remember the Bible says that Jesus said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. I will never leave you nor forsake you, even at the end of the world. Well, I will tell you, at the end of the world, at the end of your world is where God is. At the end of your life, at the end of your world, God is waiting, actually, for you to get there. So all these bad things that we go through and these tough situations, you know, God is already there and He's waiting for us to get there. And He's just going to show Himself strong, like He protected me. That day I took my passport, I got my bag, I walked out, and there was a taxi driver there. And I said, "Autopen, Bucharest?" And he went, yeah, girl, let's go ahead. And so it cost me another 100 Deutschmark, but that's okay. And I made my flight that day and went from home. Amen. But this place of need is where God is discovered in greater fullness. This place of need, the end of the world, the end of ourselves, is the place where God is discovered in greater fullness. Hagar would never have come into these wonderful experiences with God if she had never entered the wilderness. Well, I would have never had this wonderful experience that I talk about today that man being beat. It wasn't too wonderful for him, but it was a wonderful experience to me where God showed his love and his concern and his faithfulness to me in that situation. And I would have never had that experience if I would have not went to Bulgaria and traveled and went into some places like that. Amen? Wow. She never would have known him as she did apart from her despair in the wilderness. It is not our much, but it is our lack we see God in a fuller and a meaningful way. When we don't have, when we're in lack, have it be financially or spiritually or whatever, when we are in lack, as I will promise you, we can see God in a fuller and meaningful way. People say, well, I want to see God. Okay, get sick. I want to know God. Okay, you want to know God as a healer? Get sick. I want to know God as, you know, as a provider. Okay, have no money. I mean that's the way that God works. When we are in lack, then we can see God fuller in a greater way. If Hagar never went into the wilderness with limited water and limited bread, she would have never had an angel to speak to her. Can you imagine that? If she would have never run out of water and never run out of bread, she would have never had an angel. Now, she's an Egyptian bond slave, right? She would have never had this angel speak to her. Wow. The wilderness is the place where God hears. Oh, I love this. Where God hears. And God heard the voice of the lad. And for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. You know, God meets us where we are. God meets us where we are. What an amazing event. God met Hagar and the lad in the place where they were. God came to them. I don't know why we always think that we go to God. Let's go to God in prayer. Well, that can't be possible. We can't go to God. God comes to us. Wow. Even when we were sinners, God came to us in our sin. Wow. This is the heart of God, to come to us just as we are, just where we are. God comes to us in our need for things, even our salvation. And it is God who loved us first. When I was yet in sin, Christ died for me. Christ comes to me. He comes to where we are. He meets us in our place of need. It is not necessarily the truth that Hagar or the lad was crying unto the Lord. It didn't say they were praying. They certainly were crying, but the Bible does not state they were praying to God or crying out to the Lord, as we always do. She lifted up her voice and wept due to the fact of her situation. Boy, does that sound familiar in our lives? Some of our best prayers, I don't know about you, Ray, but some of my best prayers have no words. Some of my best prayers, Marion, is like this. Ah, God! Wow. Dear Heavenly Father, and God, get all that religious stuff going on? Nah. I think God sticks his finger in his ears when people start all that stuff. But some of my best prayers have no words. Amen? Have no words. In the absence of a prayer or a cry to God, there's an amazing thing about God. He is aware of our heartaches and our tears, even for a non-believer. Even though we do not take him, or even though we do not take them to him or express them to him, yet he is aware. God is aware of all people. I mean, you know, God does know all things, but he allows all of these things in our life to get us to the place where he can work on us. God knew Hagar. He knew the land. He knew what was going to happen. He knew how much food and how much water Abraham was going to give Hagar. But he allowed that to happen to bring her to that place where he could work on her. And he knew that. Wow. Now, we are not pawns where God can move us around this chessboard. You know, God knows all things and all that. No, that's not what happened. But God knows all things, and he uses all of these things to bring us to the place in him where he can work in our life. For God to be God, he must know everything. Nothing is unknown to God, especially our heart. everything done in secret will be made manifest openly. Wow. And my Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's recorded in Matthew 6, 4, 6, and 18. Nothing is hidden from God. Nothing. All those things that we think that we've done, that we think no one knows about, nothing is hidden from God. And everything is rewarded openly by God for all the world to see. Now, everything is rewarded. Everything that we have done in life, we will receive a reward for. Everything. Make no mistake, all lives are God's, and God knows all hearts. He knows who really love Him, or He knows those that are just acting like they love Him. Isn't that amazing? That some people act like they love God, but in reality, God knows that, you know, that He knows that they know that they don't love Him. Wow. Wow. Now remember, God does the rewarding based upon our labors and the motives and intents of our heart. Say that again. God does the rewarding based upon our labors and the motive and intent of our heart. Never forget, a curse and a blessing both are rewards which we have earned from our words and our actions and our deeds. What's that thinking? A curse and a blessing both are rewards that we receive based upon our actions and our deeds and our words. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, now that he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Our rewards are not based on what we do, but how we do them. Let me say that again. Our rewards and even our curses, I think it's in Deuteronomy, I want to say the 26th chapter, there's like 42 rewards, 28 curses and 14 blessings. A reward is something that we receive from God based upon our character and our actions and our labors. It's kind of interesting that there's twice as many curses as there are blessings, Mike. I don't know. Maybe God would want to curse us twice as much as bless us so that He will be able to get our attention. Amen. Because a good blessing carries us only so far. But I promise you, when God will curse us, per se, drop us to our knees and get our attention so that we draw closer to Him, that would carry us a lot, lot further than God blessing us. It seems when we get a blessing, we get a big head and we have to get a bigger hat. Our head has a tough time going through the door and stuff like that. Amen? But our rewards are not based on what we do, but how we do them. Were they done with the right motives? With our right intentions? Were our intentions correct for what we did? Was our heart condition, was that correct? Amen? Paul was not talking about working and planning and whatever. He wasn't talking about that. But was talking about being joined to God in labor. Joined to God in labor. Sweetheart, can you go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 10? I just read 8.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Amen. So the reward that we will get here, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it's not based upon what we have done, how we built that building, did we build it with bricks or whatever, you know, but it's how we built that. Whatever we did for God is based upon our heart condition and our motives and our intentions. Paul in Ephesians 2:10 said it this way. It says that we are God's workmanship. We are God's building. We are God's workmanship. I like that workmanship in the German is Bausteller. It's Bausteller. We are God's Bausteller. God gets to work on us. And Hagar found that out. Amen? Some party thoughts. In the Bible, God moves on behalf of others without an approach being made to Him. Let me say that again. In the Bible, God moves on behalf of others without an approach being made to Him, without a prayer said. The widow of Nahum, in Luke 7:11-15, Jesus comes along in His compassion and raises her son. She never prayed, oh God, you know, none of that stuff. God, Jesus came by and just saw her, saw how broken that she was, and He just raised her son. She didn't request that. She didn't ask God to do that. God does not need an invitation to come to our rescue. He doesn't need an invitation to come to our rescue, but He needs, you ready for this? Our obedience and trust in Him. He doesn't need an invitation for us to come to our rescue, but what He needs is our obedience to Him and our trust in Him. Even Jesus could not do miracles in certain places because the people did not believe in Him. They did not have faith and trust in Him. And so even Jesus could not do miracles in their life. Likewise, God may come to us in our hour of distress when we are beside ourselves. We feel and believe that He is a million miles away. We cannot pray, we just have a good cry. Been there before?
Mm-hmm.
I have. God sees, He hears. Amazing? He sees us crying. He hears us crying. And He arrives. That's the kind of God that I serve. He has compassion and He meets our need. Even for sinners, He is there for them. How much more would He be there for His children? How much more would He be there for His children? Wow. He, God, heard a voice, a sound. Voice and sound are the same Hebrew word. Strong's 69:63. God heard this sound coming from the wilderness. Someone is crying. The result of God hearing a sound or a voice is God coming and Hagar discovering. She discovers that God cares for her. What ails thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the land where He is. Wow. Maybe a prayer, but the Bible does not say she prayed. She was an Egyptian slave. Yet God was there for her and the lad. Wow. I don't know about you, but you need to let that sink in. That's powerful. The next time that we get, Lord, don't, where's God? Lord, don't love me. And this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And we start playing what if and playing stump the dummy and all those, but we need to remember that, hey, wait a minute, God is there. He hears, He sees, and He arrives, and He has compassion, and He will take care of our need. Don't be afraid. God has heard and has come to take care of us in our distressful situations. Ooh, what? Isn't God nice? He is ever thoughtful of us, more so than we realize. For us, God is there in our distressful situations. He is sitting there beside us as we cry.
Yeah.
as we're sitting there.
Yeah.
As I was standing at that border, just shivering in my, just, what is going on, man? Looking at that guy getting beat, thinking of my neck, God was standing right there beside me. Right there beside me. Was I scared? Yes, but you know what? I'll be honest. I wasn't scared. I was scared because I didn't know what was going on, but I wasn't scared. There was kind of like a peace that was, that it was going to be okay. It was just so strange. Amen. For us, God is there in our stressful situations. He is setting the record side of us. Your provision has come. Not what I needed or what you needed. That's not your provision. Your provision is God. God has come, and God will take care of that. Amen?
Amen.
What an amazing discovery to honestly discover in our heart God does care for her and God cares for us. Most Christians have never made this discovery. And that's true. Most Christians go to church all their life, sing in the choir, do all that stuff, but in their heart, honestly, they have never made that discovery that God really cares for them. That God, in their heart, and honestly, that God really cares for them. This is a wonderful discovery. God really cares for us. And if we cannot make this discovery, then all of the discoveries in God will never happen. Again, this is the foundational discovery. That, wait a minute, God really cares for me. And out from discovering that, everything else will open up. Wow. Our effort and work will be our strength unless we make that discovery that God cares for me and you. Amen.